Hi, I'm Dr. Akiva Down.
And I'm Rabbi Avi Green.
And welcome to Interesting Questions.
In this podcast, we'll be addressing issues that are philosophical, religious, and psychological in nature.
We will be focusing on that which is considered to be controversial, and there may not be a right or wrong answer. So we are hoping that our discussions will yield more questions for your Shabbos table.
Shavua Tov, and welcome back to Interesting Questions. We are on the sixth perek of Pirkei Avot, and today we're going to do Mishnayot Bet and Gimel. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, "B'chol yom v'yom, every single day, bat kol yotzeit mehar chorev, a heavenly voice comes out from the mountain of Chorev, umachrezet va'omeret, and it proclaims the following: Oy lahem labriot me'elbona shel Torah. Woe is to them, to the people, because they insult the Torah. Shekol mi she'eno osek b'Torah, because anyone who does not engage themselves in Torah, nikra nazuf, is called rebuked. Shene'emar, that it says, nezem zahav ba'af chazir. It is like a gold ring in the snout of a pig. Isha yafa v'sarat ta'am, like a beautiful woman who turns away from good judgment. V'omer, and it says, v'haluchot ma'ase elokim hema, the tablets, the luchot that God wrote the Ten Commandments on, were the work of God. V'michtav michtav elokim, and the writing was the writing of God. Hu charut al haluchot, this was engraved on the tablets. Al tikra charut, don't call it charut, ela cherut, rather freedom. She'ein lecha ben chorin ela misha osek b'talmud Torah, because there is no true freedom except for one who engages in Talmud Torah. V'chol misha osek b'talmud Torah harei zeh mitaleh, and anyone who engages in Talmud Torah, this person should be elevated. She'ne'emar, that it says, umi matana nachliel, umi nachliel bamot. And from matana to nachliel, and from nachliel to bamot.
So, Avi, I want to, before we go on to touch on Gimel, I do think that there's something that I'm going to ask for you to expand upon for us. So in the commentary down below, it talks about the fact that sometimes, because the Torah doesn't have any nekudot, we can utilize words like that to, like charut and cherut, to prove a point, to help to teach a lesson. I understand that idea. I guess the question that I would have is there more to it? Because I feel like it's something where there just seems to be something more of value. Maybe it's, and just that uncertainty sometimes. Like, for example, I'm thinking about, you know, we just recently had Parshat Zachor, and we have Zachor and Zecher, and some don't know which way to pronounce it, so the idea is you pronounce both. Well, should it have been Chayrut all along and not Charut? How do we, and obviously we may not know that answer entirely, but that seems to be such a more meaningful way to interpret than the literal Charut.
So, it's a great question. In general, we say that there are multiple levels on which we can learn Torah. And traditionally, we say that there are four levels in which we break this down into. There's pshat, remez, drash, and sod, which is sometimes given the acronym pardes. And so pshat means the basic understanding. I take a piece of Torah, I read it, and I understand it at its most surface level. Remez means there's some sort of hint. Right? So oftentimes we use this when we talk about there's some sort of question that Rashi is asking that it seems to allude to something else, and yet we don't quite know to what it is alluding, and so Rashi will tell us this is a remez to something, right? It's alluding to something else, and it's making connections. Drash is, there's a lesson to be learned out of this. And probably the best, or perhaps the most familiar piece that people would be connected to with this is the idea of Midrash, right? Midrash has two different types of learning. One is the Midrash Agadah, which are the stories that we tell, and usually we believe that the goal is to learn lessons, moral lessons out of Midrash Agadah. And then you have Midrash Halacha. Midrash Halacha is the idea that there are legal lessons we should learn. So for instance, we have the idea that when Avraham gives Yitzchak a Brit Milah, so we learn from that 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 wasn't just a one-time event, but it's something that we do, and we give our children, our male children, a Brit Milah. That's a Midrash Halacha. When it comes to Midrash Agadah, right, there's the famous story of Avraham breaking all of the idols that his father has in his shop. And this is a Midrash Agadah. Perhaps the lesson there is to teach us that, right, how we should be so careful when it comes to idol worship, and push ourselves as far away as possible from that and recognize the fact that there's only one God. So in this case, what we're seeing is a very typical method that Chazal use, that our rabbis use, where they take a word, and because the Torah does not have nikudot, it isn't vowelized, a word in Hebrew can sometimes be read more than one way. And therefore, they are using that play on words here to say that perhaps it doesn't mean that they were engraved, although that would be the pshat, but instead they're using it to create a drash, where they are saying that this is that the learning of Torah is what provides freedom. And there's a very famous one that we say as part of tefillah, right? Al tomar halachot ela halichot, right? That these are not just laws, but they are the ways of Hashem. And so this is, like I said, a very common method of implementing drash. Sod, which is the most secret way, really takes it into a path that most are not prepared or can understand. And so we'll leave that for those who are perhaps a little bit older and wiser and study things like Zohar and the secrets of the Torah. So I think that takes us to the third Mishnah. Halomed mechavero perek echad, o halacha echad, o pasuk echad, o dibur echad, o afilu ot echad, tzarich linhag bo kavod. Someone who learns from their friend a single chapter, or a single law, or a single pasuk, or even a single statement, or even a single letter, must treat that person with honor. Shekein matzinu b'David melech Yisrael, shelo lamad me'achitofel ela shnei dvarim bilvad. As we see in the case of King David, the king of Israel, that learned from Achitofel just two things. Ukra'o Rabbi Alufo umyuda'o, and he called him his guide and his intimate teacher. Shneamar, that it says, Va'ata anesh ke'erki alufi umyuda'i, and you are a man of my measure who is my guide and my intimate teacher. V'halo dvarim kavachomer, and is it not so in these matters that it can be a case where we learn something simple and all the more so we learn what is more challenging? Uma David Melech Yisrael shelo lamad ma'achitofel ela shnei dvarim, and someone like King David, who was so great, that only learned two things from Achitofel, Karo Rabo Alufo Umyadao, and he called him his guide and his intimate teacher. Halo made me chaviro, somebody who learns from his friend. Perek echad, a single chapter. O halacha echad, or a single law. O pasuk echad, or a single verse. O dibur echad, or even a single statement. O afilu ot echad, or even a single letter. Alachat kama v'kama tzarich lin hagbo kavod. How much more so should he be required to treat his friend with honor? Ve'ein kavod ela Torah, and there's nothing called honor except for Torah. Shenemar, that it says, kavod chachamim yinchalu, the wise shall inherit honor. Utmimim yinchalu tov, and those who are tamim, who are pleasant, shall inherit the good. Ve'ein tov ela Torah, and there's nothing that is called good except for Torah. Shenemar, that it says, ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al tazovu, because it says in the pasuk, because I have given you these good teachings and my Torah you shall not forsake. So here we have two mishnayot, two braitot, that are talking about the importance of learning Torah. And when we talk about the second one, Akiva, it talks about the relationship you should have with someone who may be a peer, but from whom you are also learning. And I was hoping maybe you could shed some additional light on the idea of how engaging in an act such as learning Torah together can help grow and impact a relationship.
I think that any time you have an opportunity to learn from someone else, it shows such an exquisite value in the relationship. I can talk about learning Torah, or even just from a professional standpoint. I mean, certainly I have people, one sitting next to me, who we learned Torah together, and at the same time, I can tell you that I've had, you know, and I guess the way I would kind of rephrase this is to step away from the learning Torah part just for a minute. Not that there's anything not valued about learning Torah, but at the same time, I can speak to the fact of when I was in residency, I had a number of mentors, teachers, who taught me things, hence the phrase. And at some point in the training, the relationship shifted in such a way where it was more than just a teacher. And at times it was more than just a mentor. And there a friendship developed. And it came to the point where sometimes they had questions for me. And I think that that adds such an amazing level of understanding and value to not just the relationship itself, but the idea of how a relationship can change and how it can shift and what kind of people you can find yourself in a relationship with. I think that when you're learning from someone and they show that it's never a point where you can't learn something from someone else, even if you're the one teaching them, then it really does showcase just how valuable and how important relationships can be and how there's this mutual respect that comes about. And I think that's something that is often, in a way, I think a little bit left out up until now to a great degree. We always talk about how the teacher deserves the respect and how there's this amazing amount of respect that we give, the kavod we give to the chachamim, we give to the teachers, we give to our parents. But it doesn't always talk about the reverse. And maybe that's because the reverse is that nobody's just a teacher and nobody is just a student. But in fact, we all have the opportunity to be both teachers and students. And I guess as I'm saying it, that's maybe what the lesson is here, that it's not that we don't have respect for our students, but rather our students can also be our teachers. And that's, I think, what this particular mishnah is talking about, is the fact that any time, if a student asks a question, right, Navi, I'm sure that you've probably experienced this a number of times, where a student will ask a question, and you'll say, oh, that's a really good question, or an interesting question. And it leads down this pathway of just learning from each other, and that just really draws in a new level of depth and intimacy. I like the fact that it uses the word intimate, because it is an intimate relationship when you have that bi-directional, that back and forth between, I'm not just the student and I'm not just the teacher, but I'm also the student and I'm also the teacher. It's a wonderful opportunity to really have such a close and meaningful relationship. And I think that the more we can do this, and parents, I'm sure this is an experience as well, when there comes something where you say, all of a sudden, I've learned something from my child. It changes the value. It changes the nature of that relationship. It doesn't decrease the respect. It increases the respect. It increases the opportunity to feel pride and joy. I think any teacher who is afraid or turned off by the idea that one can learn something from their student, maybe it's really a question of how much of a teacher are they.
So I don't know if I've expressed it to you this way before, Akiva, but part of the reason that I appreciate us doing this podcast together is because I feel like it enforces our chavrusa time. Right, we sit here on a Motzei Shabbat, and we do so nearly every week. Last week we were off because it was Purim, but nearly every week we sit and we learn Torah together. And right, we know that one of the ways to make sure that you set something up and hold to it is do it with somebody else, right? So you know somebody else is counting on you, you're more likely to show up. And then if we record it, we hope that other people are counting on us to show up, and I'm hoping that maybe at some point in the distant future, my children might be willing to listen to it and learn a little Torah from me. And so all of those encourage me and push me to show up every week and make sure that we are doing some thoughtful and meaningful learning. And so I think that takes us to our question around the Shabbos table, which is, what do you want to learn, and who do you want to learn it with? And how do you go about finding that person to be your chavrusa? It's easy to go to somebody you already know, right? It can be more challenging to say, I want to get to know somebody, and maybe the way we can do that is by learning something together. And it doesn't have to be something deep, right? It doesn't have to be that you're going to dive straight into Gemara. But maybe you want to say, let's learn, the first couple psukim of each parsha, right? We'll get as far as we get, but we're going to start each parsha each week and, you know, see what questions come up and see what discussions arise. And it could be a rabbi in your community. It could be somebody else who you've wanted to build a relationship with. And Torah can be a great way to do that because, again, there are so many different perspectives you can come from. Maybe that's what takes us back to our first mission, right? There are so many different levels at which you can study it that everybody has something to contribute.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to reach us, you can reach us at iqdiscuss@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and responding.
As a little bonus feature, I'll tell the story about Pardes. There's a story in Gemara Chagiga that talks about Arba Shenechnesu LePardes. There were four who entered Pardes, the orchard. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, also known as Elisha ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva. And it says that one looked and died, one looked and was harmed, one looked and cut down the trees, or the shoots, and one went up in peace and went down in peace. And the idea was that these four rabbis, as great as they were, when they tried to fully plumb the depths of Torah, including the sod, the secrets of Torah, that one looked and died, that was Ben Zoma, and one looked and was harmed. I'm sorry, that the first was Ben Azai, the second was Ben Zoma, and then one looked and cut the shoots, that refers to Elisha ben Abuya, who leaves Judaism, and only Rabbi Akiva was able to go in peace and come back in peace because of his greatness. And so the discussion about, well, what does that teach us in terms of knowing our appropriate level of depth at which we should study, knowing that sometimes not understanding is okay. But there are lots of different lessons that can come from this Midrashic story.